With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Alan Horton, the voice of the Timberwolves on their radio network. And I'm thrilled that he's joining us now here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Really a lot of fun to listen to this game tonight, not just because we're former classmates at Syracuse, Alan, but also because it was such an awesome way to wrap up the regular season. So what was it like inside the arena tonight?
Amy, first off, it's great to be with you. And it was just, it was tremendous. It was unlike anything I've seen in my 11 years with the Wolves. It goes back obviously to the 2004 playoff run to the Western Conference Finals, the last time there was anything even close to an important game like tonight was. And it was such a rarity. I mean, it's to go down to the final game of the regular season and to have the two teams that are fighting for the final playoff spot match up against one another. It was the first time, only the third time since 1983, since the playoff format expanded, that the NBA had a game like this where two teams faced each other in the regular season finale with so much on the line. And you know what? The game lived up to the billing. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And two teams just slugging away at each other. And it was just, it was incredible. It lived up to the hype and then some, and the crowd was unbelievable. And it was a great moment for Timberwolves fans.
Both sides, both teams completely exhausted by the end. You could really tell. And so they were giving it everything they had. And I saw this quote from Karl-Anthony Towns afterward that he said he'd probably fall asleep, wake up in the middle of the night and start crying. Cause that's how big it is. It'll hit him what happened. So what did the players have to say afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, guys like Karl-Anthony Towns, even though he's only been here for 3 years, you know, he's taken it upon himself. He's a former number one pick, and he wanted to end the playoff drought, and he wanted to do it a little bit earlier than this, but the moment finally came, and he rose to the occasion. I thought the Timberwolves all did, whether it was Towns or Wiggins, the young guys, and the veterans that Tom Thibodeau brought in to win games like this and to lead this team to the postseason, which they're now in. You know, whether it's Jimmy Butler or Jamal Crawford or Taj Gibson was huge tonight. It was and Jeff Teague hit big shots tonight. It was a great night for Minnesota. It was a great night for the players and for those guys that have been around a few years that have not seen it. And they've really gotten to know the fan base. And this is a very tight community, so they get to know the fans a little bit. And they start to realize how much the fans want it. And finally, they're able to deliver something. So I think that's why not only is Carl a very competitive individual himself, but he's embraced the fan base here, and he's wanted to lead this team to the playoffs for 3 years, and he's finally done it.
When did the fans start to buy into this team?
Well, the fan base has been beaten down over the years. It's, 13 straight years of missing the playoffs has taken its toll, and the fan base has built its way back up this season as the wins have accumulated. Come in the building. They're starting to get behind this team. Jimmy Butler has made a huge impact. I think everyone realizes what kind of alpha dog he is, whether he's leading you on the court offensively and defensively or off the court in the locker room with how they're doing things, how they approach things. So it's taken a little while to build, but nothing. I have never seen anything like the atmosphere in the building tonight where the fans had the building sold out. They were standing up on their feet from the opening tip, and they were on their feet cheering every single possession like it mattered, and it did. Mm. Every possession mattered tonight, and it was just – I hope it was a fun game to listen to and to watch for the fans that saw it on NBA TV or locally or listened. And it's just I thought it was a great night for basketball. And, Amy, the cool thing, too, after the game, the Nuggets stayed on the floor. They all embraced each other. These guys – four guys from each team in the starting lineup played 40-plus minutes. These guys were exhausted, throwing mm-hmm. haymakers at each other for the better part of 45 minutes. The Nuggets were on the floor. They congratulated the Wolves. And it was awesome to see, especially in this day and age of, you know, with all the political infighting and everything in society that seems to be going wrong. It was just cool to see the Nuggets acknowledge the situation. You know, nobody lost this game. The Timberwolves won this game. It was that good. And I thought it was a real class act by by Mike Malone and the Nuggets and their fans and their players to stay on the floor and really congratulate everybody. And you know, it's a tough loss for them, but they showed a lot of class, I thought, in the way they handled themselves after the game.
Alan Horton's the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves on their radio network with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I think one of the things that made me laugh as I was listening to you is every time Nikola Jokic would hit a shot, you're like, again? Come on, again?
Oh.
Like, he was just on fire in that third quarter. So what did Taj Gibson do? How did you see that defense kind of force Jokic into a zone where he wasn't so comfortable?
Yeah, because Taj got into foul difficulty early or midway through the third, and Jokic was already catching fire at that point, and then it just continued when Taj had to sit down with four personal fouls. Nikola Jokic is one of the great young big men in this game. He can score, he can rebound, he can shoot threes, and he can facilitate. I mean, he's averaging 6 assists per game. And he finishes the regular season averaging over 6 assists. The only guys over 6'10" ever to do that are Wilt Chamberlain twice, Ben Simmons this year for the 76ers, and Kevin Garnett, former Timberwolf, did it. And now Jokic has done it. They've run their offense through him, and he's incredible. And in that third quarter, he had 17 points, 7-for-7 shooting. He was unstoppable. And when you get someone that size with a high release point, it's like, you know, when Dirk Nowitzki gets hot, there's no stopping it. And once Taj went out, that's the defense really dropped down. But when Taj was able to come back in the fourth quarter, you know, the Wolves were able to at least hold him in check a little bit. But it was just an incredible night. Jokic, I thought, was incredible. Jamal Murray was amazing. Here's a second-year player that very clearly wants the ball in his hands at big moments. And, you know, that it's not, you can't say that about everybody. It's Jokic and Murray really wanted to step up, and they wanted the ball in their hands down the stretch.
Tom Thibodeau's a former NBA Coach of the Year when he was with the Chicago Bulls, and a lot has been made of the fact that he's got a bunch of his former players now with him in Minnesota. You mentioned the veteran presence, Derrick Rose being one of those guys. Where have you seen his fingerprints on this particular team now in its second season under Coach Tibbs?
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly not playing defense like the Chicago Bulls days, and that's been one of the surprises over the first 2 years is why the defense hasn't been better than a bottom 10, bottom 5 last year. They've snuck out of the bottom 5 so far this year and been in the bottom 10, but that's not much of an improvement. But it's been the offense. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, they've been the fourth-ranked offense for almost all of the season behind Golden State and Houston. They were third for a while, now they've dropped to fourth, but that's been a surprise. There's no doubt that Tom Thibodeau has gone back to what he knows and what he trusts, and that's a lot of guys surrounding the Chicago Bulls. His staff is made up of guys from the Chicago Bulls. His front office is made up with a lot of guys that were with him in Chicago, and now the players with Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson and Jimmy Butler. There's obviously close bonds. He trusts those guys. And obviously Butler and I think Gibson have a lot left in the tank. I mean, a lot of people were kind of questioning the signing of Taj Gibson to $14 million a year, but he's been arguably the most valuable player for the Wolves, kind of flying under the radar, grabbing rebounds, the defense that you saw against Jokic tonight, and just the way he handles himself. Butler speaks for himself. And I think Derrick Rose, I would expect that he'll probably be back next year. I think we've seen flashes from Derrick Rose, not necessarily tonight, but last game against Memphis, he had a really good game. He had a good first half. A couple of games prior to that against Denver at their place. So I think, you know, he goes back to what he feels comfortable with. And those guys have, for the most part, panned out.
So the Wolves are in, and they end up as the 8th seed, and all of that was still in doubt going into this last day of the regular season. How do the Timberwolves match up with the Rockets?
Yeah, not well. Not well at all. I have not looked at the numbers recently because it's a little too scary to look at, but they have they've struggled this season, not a win against Houston, 0-4, and you know, they lost Jimmy Butler. That's when Butler hurt his knee down in Houston, and we'll be there this weekend to play game one. But it's a tough matchup because of a pesky subject that I used to struggle in, math. The Houston loves the three ball, and the Timberwolves, you know, they only average 8 made threes a game, and that's last in the NBA. And when you look at the final box scores from against the Rockets this year and in years past, you will see consistently that the Rockets have outscored the Wolves by 5, 6, 7, 8 made threes a game. That's too tough to make up. You can't make that up in shooting twos better or turning the ball over, getting offensive rebounds or free throws or any of those other areas. It's just too much. Even if you have the edge in all those other areas, you can't make up for the gap in three-point shooting. And when you've got Trevor Ariza and Ryan Anderson and James Harden and Eric Gordon coming off the bench, it's been a bad matchup for the Wolves. But you know what? They'll worry about that this weekend. They're enjoying tonight. And, the first step was getting into the postseason. And it's a little tough pill to swallow because the Wolves 6 weeks ago were the number three seed in the West.
Right.
And they really dropped when the rest of the West, really, Utah went on their run. San Antonio was decent enough to hang on to a spot, but Denver made a run. And all those other teams, New Orleans, and everybody kind of pushed up while the Wolves were dropping. So it's a little tough to see them in the eighth seed all of a sudden when 6 weeks ago they could have been having home court advantage in the first round.
Alan Horton, the play-by-play voice of the Minnesota Timberwolves in his 11th season with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, for you personally, how exciting is this?
It's wild. It's fun. It's just great to, whatever field anybody is in that they're listening, you want to be challenged and you want to be in those moments, where you're put under a pressure situation. You want to, for calling games, there's nothing better than games that mean the most. And so this game, like I said earlier, was so rare in the NBA. It's even weirder than a game seven, because in a game seven, you've played that team six times. And over the last couple of weeks building up to that game seven. And while there's a lot on the line, this just kind of gets thrown at you. Okay, you're going to play this team, and whoever wins is going to the postseason. It's all or nothing. It's like an NCAA tournament game or something. And so it's fun to be in those type of games and those type of atmospheres and to have the game live up to the billing. That's why we all love sports. You love sports for great moments and great atmospheres and really good competition. And I think we had all of that tonight.
Well, it was a great listen. I enjoyed it. Awesome atmosphere. You can find Alan on Twitter at Wolves Radio. And after more than a decade with Minnesota, he'll be in the playoffs too. So great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Amy, always appreciate it. Great being on with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.